So my name's Caleb, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Desert Springs.
And my name is Enrique, and I serve with our student ministry.
And today we're going to engage in some study of Scripture. We're going to be in the book called 1 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn there. It's in your New Testament. If you're not sure where it is, 1 Corinthians, just look in your table of contents, which is at the front. And we also have it printed in your handout as well. And so I invite you to turn there. If you're joining us online and you don't have a Bible available with you, you can go to a new tab and open Bible.com, and we're using the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today. Now, just a quick announcement. We will not be doing the sermon deep dive today. We're going to be instead using that time to set up for Splash Camp. We know that Splash Camp
Wait a minute. Did you say Splash Camp?
I did. Yeah,
yes.
It's not started yet.
No, yes.
We got to do Bible time.
We are time to start this party! Yes. It is time.
Are we supposed to pick that up?
I'm not picking that up. Okay. Amy, I know you're excited about Splash Camp, but you had agreed that we could still do Bible time.
Okay. Yes, you can, but not like normal Bible time. Like, we've got kids in the room. This is Splash Camp. I need you to bring it like up a few notches to Splash Camp level.
I think she just called you boring.
You think she called me boring?
Yes.
So what I'm hearing you say is that Enrique and I can do Bible stuff.
Yes.
For just a little bit before we start setting up for Splash Camp.
But
we need to kick it up a notch.
Uh-huh. Right, boys and girls? We need Splash Camp level. Or at least somewhere in between.
Okay, we're going to try our best.
Okay, all right.
And who's cleaning this up?
It's a party, Pastor Caleb. It's all about the party.
Okay. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, we'll see ya.
Okay, bye, Amy.
Enjoy.
Okay, so we're going to do Bible time that's fun.
Yes. Y'all ready?
Now, I'm not used to doing that. Did you hear them say amen?
Yes, I think.
All right, Enrique, you are a man of skill. You're a man of fun, party animal, I think we could say.
Yes.
And in your leading of student ministries, I know that you lead our students every week in studying the Bible. So maybe instead of me driving, maybe you should drive today. How about that?
Yes, just don't slow me down. Okay? I'm kidding. That wasn't in the script. I wasn't supposed to say that.
This is turning into a roast. It's not even my birthday. All right, please go ahead.
Let's start the party, okay? So what we like to do every Sunday morning, because we recognize it's kind of early, right? So some of you I can see already dozing off, and that's okay. I'm not calling you out. So we like to have some fun right from the get-go. Start with a little icebreaker. Get the brain, you know. Just working.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna put you to the test. We do Bible games, right? And I know they don't sound that fun, but they can be. Okay. And so the first thing I'm gonna have you do is old. It's called old or new. So I'm gonna say something from the Bible.
Okay.
And it's up to you guys to tell me whether it's from the Old or New Testament. Just shout it out.
Wait, okay? You're asking me to do it or asking them to do it?
Well, I mean, what's more funner? What do you guys think?
You want me to? Okay, why don't you ask me? But kids, you need to help me, okay?
There you go. Yes.
Because I get stuck sometimes. So you just kind of, you don't shout it out. We don't want Enrique to hear. You just kind of whisper it, and then I'll hear you, okay? All right, so
we'll do that.
Here we go.
We'll put you to the test. Let's see if all those years of seminary are going to pay off. Here we go. All right, here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. A really easy one, all right?
Okay.
Should be easy. Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark?
The Old Testament or the New Testament. That's the one with the boat and the animal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it went, what? Shh, don't tell him. What is it? Old.
That's correct.
Yes.
Give it up for Pastor Caleb.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
No help needed as well. All right. Two more.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. The second one.
Don't do anything about 1 Samuel.
Nothing from 1 Samuel.
I'm weak.
Okay,
there.
Let's see.
Okay. Ooh. Also, none of the prophets.
None of the prophets. Dang it. Okay, I gotta think. Let me see. Oh, here we go.
Don't do Revelation either.
No Revelation. Come on, Caleb, what's going on? All right, here we go. The Garden of Eden.
Okay.
There's a lot of gardens in the
Bible. I know this one. It's the old.
That is correct. That is correct.
But it does make an appearance in Revelation.
Ooh, he is right.
So it's old and new. Yeah. Read your Bible, Enrique.
You got me there. Well, you said no Revelation. Wait, he said no Revelation.
It'd be nice if you read your Bible.
All right, I'm going to give you a hard one.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
The alabaster jar. I never read that. That's in the Bible.
You got anything else? Is there any tips or hints? Is it the thing where the...
Filled with perfume. Filled with, you know...
Nard and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
And then, like, somebody, like, opens it or breaks it.
Yeah, breaks it and it anoints,
like,
you know.
Puts it on, like, Jesus.
Yes. That's the one I'm thinking about, yes.
All right, so is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Kids? I got it. I remember.
You got it. That's it. It's
Testament.
In the New Testament.
All right.
Congrats. Great. Good job.
Okay, thank you. All right, so, Enrique, we had today... scheduled to look at 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And I believe we have that here. It starts, you guys have your handouts. What verse are we starting at today? Is it like, what is it? 1 Corinthians what? Like 26? Okay, so if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 1:26. And you have, so we've got that open here. We'll have it up on the screen as well. And you've got some questions. So anytime that how many of you guys have ever like read part of the Bible or like seen someone else reading the Bible?
I have.
Yep, show of hands. Okay, great. So sometimes when we read the Bible, Enrique,
yes.
You know this, it can be very difficult to understand what is going on, right? When we go to the Bible, it's like, you know, seems like super old. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of the translations like are sound funny.
Yep.
There's words that we don't use in like everyday life. So how could we, whether we're like by ourselves or even better, like in a group, what are some questions we could ask as we're studying the Bible together? So whether we're like 5 years old or 55 years old or 155 years old, what would be some questions that we could ask or be thinking through when we go to something like 1 Corinthians chapter 1?
Yeah, I think asking questions is a great way to study the Bible.
Okay.
And so the first question we like to ask when we approach or come to any Bible verse, any Bible passage is, what type of literature are we reading?
Like, okay.
Wherever we find that verse or passage, what type of book are we reading?
Yeah, what type of literature? So you go to something like Genesis or Revelation or 1 Corinthians, and one of the first questions to ask is, what type of literature, what type of book is it? And so what are some types of books, kids, that you guys have heard, or students, you guys can chime in. What are some types of literature? You know, you think about the books, like what kind of books are there? Different types, yeah, like a school book, so like a textbook, what else? Like a history book, yeah, what else? What? Yeah, like a story book, that's right. How many of you guys have ever heard of like, have you ever heard of Lord of the Rings? Or what's the one with the magic guy with the thing in the...
You mean up here?
Oh, is it up here?
I think it's up here, Harry
yeah,
Potter.
Yeah, what's it, Harry Potter, you guys, is that still a thing? I'm completely irrelevant. So... There's different types of literature, right? So when we go to the Bible, we want to recognize that what we call the books of the Bible, each book might be a different type of literature. So in 1 Corinthians, if you go to the very first verse, it goes like this. Actually, Enrique, why don't you read just the first few words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll see if we can figure out what kind of book this is.
All right. If you're following along, or verse 1, here we go. Paul called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and the Sothians, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called the saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Perfect. Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, did he not read that quite well?
Wasn't I did my
that
best.
Such a great reading. Okay, so what kind of, so if, did you guys hear, like, there was, like, the first word was greetings, Paul, blah, 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 to... this group of people. What does that sound like to you? like a letter, right? Yeah, we're reading a letter. So 1 Corinthians was written by a dude named Paul. He's writing a letter to a group of Christians in a place called Corinth. So a lot of the books of the Bible have funny names like 1 Corinthians or Ephesians or Galatians. And all that means is those were places or regions or cities. And Paul is this pastor writing a letter. So if Paul were to write a letter to the church in Phoenix, what do you think it would be called? First Phoenicians or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So even though the names sound funny to us, a lot of them are like Greek names. This is just a pastor writing a letter to a group of Christians in a place called Corinth. Okay, so we're reading someone's mail.
Yes,
we're reading a letter. What's another question that we might want to consider?
So what's happening in the story? Just kind of noticing some of the things that are going on. Just
okay.
A quick overview.
So what's going on? So let's take a look now at verses 26 and on. So this is 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and on. And I know some of this stuff is going to sound strange and be confusing, but that's totally fine because we're going to ask a lot of questions of the text. So check this out. He says, this is Paul. Remember, Paul is writing a letter to a group of people in a place called Corinth. Great. Okay. So he says, brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise from a human perspective. TV timeout. Do you remember a moment ago when Amy called me boring and Enrique also called me boring?
Oh, no.
They're being biblical. Notice Paul says, brothers and sisters, consider your calling. You're dumb. No, that's not exactly what he says. What he says is, not many of you were wise from what?
A human
perspective. So something that must be going on is that the church, the group of like Christians, followers of Jesus in Corinth, were maybe feeling like, you know what? When we, like, our peers don't think we're wise, we don't have a lot of money, we don't have a lot of power. And so Pastor Paul seems to be trying to encourage them. So check this out. Not many of you are wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Okay, so he's not trying to insult them. This is probably how they already feel. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. Like, man, I just don't feel as smart as everyone else around me. I don't feel as powerful as everyone else around me. I don't feel as strong as everyone else around me. I feel like maybe, like, who am I? You know, there's so many great heroes, but who am I? Notice now what Paul does. So what's the question we're seeking to answer?
Just what's happening. Just
what's happening.
What's going on.
So it's probable that Paul is trying to write an encouragement to some followers of Jesus that don't feel like they're a big deal. Maybe they feel like they're not wise or they're not powerful. So he goes on. Instead, check this out. God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Now, this is absolutely insane. What Paul is saying here is that if you feel weak, God chooses to use the weak over the strong. If you feel foolish in this world, God uses people like you over those who feel themselves to be wise. You see how the whole thing is flipped upside down? Okay, so that seems to be what's going on. He seems to be trying to encourage a group of Jesus followers who maybe don't feel like they're a big deal. What's another question?
This one, actually, we spent some time in, but it all depends on how much time I want to give it. But what are the people, places, and things that we notice in the text? And why are they important? Sometimes noticing those things tells a little bit more about what's going on.
Good. So the people, place,
yes.
Things. Okay, yes. What's going on? Okay, so let's answer Enrique's question together. Who are some of the people that we've discovered so far in just these few verses? Paul, like the person writing the letter,
yes.
Was Paul, right? Remember, he was in the very first verse. What else? The church in Corinth, right?
Yes.
The Corinthian church, right? And what's one of the places? Corinth, right?
Yeah.
So Paul is writing. Now, real quick. Now, let's use our skills of deductive reasoning. Ready? Like if we were a detective. Ready? Everyone go like this. No, you have to. You have to do it. Go, Now, if Paul is writing a letter to a church in Corinth, is Paul in Corinth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first we have to deduce it.
Oh, that's right.
Yes or no? Is Paul in Corinth? No, I don't think so. So however, like Paul must have heard about this stuff and he's writing from somewhere. We don't see it yet in these verses. But he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. So some of the people, Paul, the Corinthian church, what's happening? He's writing a letter. He's somewhere and he's writing to a church, a local congregation in Corinth. And he seems to be doing so to encourage them.
Yeah.
Good. So what's another question we should think about?
It's my favorite one, actually.
Oh, okay.
What is something weird or confusing? And would it be something weird or confusing for the people in this day, right? When the letter was being written.
Okay, so something that's weird or confusing. Do we have anything yet that's weird and confusing? Now, okay, let's keep going and maybe we'll find something weird and confusing.
Okay, so
let's continue on. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. Right? Yeah, okay. Now, are we getting a little strange? Okay, it seems to be what Paul's doing here is he seems to be doing kind of this move or kind of like this fancy way of talking where he's saying because of Jesus, everything's flipped upside down. Because of Jesus, people who think in their own self they're strong, Jesus actually shows that they're weak. That according to what Jesus has done, people who think that they're like super smart and better than everyone else, that Jesus actually flips it upside down and uses people who the world or everyone else around us thinks are not strong or not powerful or not smart to actually show that they're pride, their own self, their assessment of themselves, it actually is viewed now in light of Jesus as nothing. There's this really powerful thing that the cross of Jesus does. No one deserves to be at the communion table. Jesus doesn't look at people and say, how powerful are you? How strong are you? How much money do you have? How good are your grades? How many friends do you have? And then say, okay, as long as you measure up, you get to be with Jesus. That's not what Jesus does. No. Jesus says, all ground is equal at the foot of the cross. And because of that, when we think ourselves to be super mighty and powerful, it actually, because of Jesus, it shows that that's actually a weakness. And the true strength is in humility and serving others and thinking of others more than ourselves.
Yeah.
And so Paul, yeah, I mean, by the way, if you've, I'm going to talk to the grown-ups just for a quick minute, okay, kids? Is that okay? It's just going to be like a quick minute. Grown-ups, if you've read the Bible and you've read some of the stuff that Paul's written, have you found yourself confused oftentimes? Can we just say to ourselves in the presence of our young members here, sometimes reading the Bible is really confusing.
Yeah.
Now, that's why we need each other. That's why we're invited to read the Bible together so we can ask like really good questions. And if no one in our congregation has like any thoughts on it, you know what we do? We go like this. And then we think and we pray and we spend like 100 years trying to figure it out, right? Okay, so we see some weird stuff.
Yep.
What else?
Okay,
what's another question?
We're getting to the bottom of the questions here, but...
Last one or two?
Last one. I mean, depending on, do you guys want to end the fun or do you guys want to keep going? I mean.
Wait, did you say, do you want to have fun or keep going? Because I feel like we're having a blast. Just ask the question.
The question is, what is Jesus, he got me. What is Jesus trying to tell us, right? What is God trying to tell us through this passage?
Yeah, what do we see? Okay, so here's something that... I want to caution us. When we ask, what is God trying to show us in this text, that we shouldn't jump there too quickly. Mm-hmm. We've got to remember, in this case, we're reading someone else's mail. And it wasn't written to us, but it was preserved for us, which means we've got to think, okay, what are the principles here? What are the values here? What are the core teachings here that we can apply in our lives? Because do any of you live in Corinth?
No.
Do any of you live 2,000 years ago?
No.
Okay, so we've got to do some work and thinking and going, about how this text can give us truth and principles to live out in our context or in our space in 2024 Phoenix.
So are you telling us we have to travel back in time a little bit?
Yeah, you've got to kind of imagine like this is a letter written to people in their world, mm-hmm. in their time, in their space. And so we've got to do some of that work of thinking and praying through how is this going to give us some wisdom mm-hmm. for today?
Okay.
Now, we've already done some of that work, right? Like if you've ever felt not strong, or you've ever felt not wise, or you've ever felt like, who am I to do anything worthy of God? This whole text is showing us God uses what everyone else thinks is weak to do his good work. Yeah. So I think that's a principle we can take away.
That's good.
But we also go on, so that no one may boast in his presence. I love this. You guys ever heard, I'm going to ask the grown-ups real quick. Have you guys ever, students as well, have you guys ever heard this statement, I want to do big things for God? Mm-hmm. Who's heard that? I want to do big things for God. Yeah. I hear it all the time, and I get the sentiment, so I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody, but you know what's fascinating about the teachings of Jesus is that he's calling us to do faithfulness in the small things and leave the effects to him. Aubrey Barnwell, who's a pastor in South Phoenix, is a friend of mine, and he said to me, he said, my mama used to say that if it's big, God ain't in it. And she was the wife of a local minister and had seen up close and personal God at work. That how God usually chooses to work is through faithful people living faithfully, step by step,
yeah.
in the what the world calls the small things. And so sometimes when we do the big things and we make a big splash, what ends up happening? Look how big of a deal I am because I did all the big stuff for God.
Yeah.
And instead, faithfulness in the small things means that no one will boast. No one will be arrogant. No one will find themselves to be, you know, look at me. Instead, it's look at Jesus. There's this overwhelming principle in the teachings of Scripture that God is glorified and people see God most clearly when we are humble, when we are not powering up but using our power in service of others, and when we're just simply pointing the way to Jesus. An old way to say it is, we're just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so that no one will boast. So I want to do this one thing, though.
Okay.
Check this out, okay? I'm going to say something. I want us to meditate on it for 80 years. Okay? Check this out. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus. So we're bound together because of Jesus. That's kind of why we practice communion this way. Who became wisdom from God for us. Have you ever, grown-ups, kids, students, have you ever faced a difficult decision? Yeah. That you weren't sure what the best way forward was? Who's had that decision? And in those moments of confusion, of uncertainty, when we're just like, oh God, what do you want me to do? What we need in those moments is something called wisdom.
Yeah.
The ability or the skill or the practice of practicing the truth, what we know to be true, to put it into practice or action. But sometimes it's hard to know, right?
Yeah.
Let's check this out. This is something that I think we can meditate on, and then we'll conclude so okay. You can go have fun. When we need wisdom, notice that wisdom is not just an idea. It's not just some idea out there in a cloud that we can like get a hold, like try to grasp at. Wisdom is a person. If you want to see the wisdom of God, look at Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you see it here? What Paul says to a group of people who feel like they're nothing, they're nobodies, they're not wise according to the ways of this world, they're not strong according to the ways of this world, they're begging God for wisdom. And Paul says, oh, we've been given wisdom. We have been freely given the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
But it's not a concept, it's a person.
Yeah.
Growing up, for me, there was a, maybe you know, that you're familiar with that This might be a little cliche, so I don't want to tell them. Do you know what a WWJD bracelet is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you think I can tell them without acting a fool?
I think they'll know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. So when I was in my teens, early 20s, there was this thing called WWJD. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Right? And we would have, people have like bracelets or things like that, or like neck tattoos, whatever it might have been. it was this kind of movement, WWJD. I still see it around.
Yeah. You know?
And that comes from this idea that wisdom is not an abstract concept, it's a person. Mm-hmm. So another way to say, what's the wisest, most loving decision I can make in this situation? Another way to ask that question is, what do I think Jesus would do here? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is the wisdom of God for us. So in our weakness, in our confusion, in our suffering, in our uncertainty of the way to move forward, I think to answer your question, what Pastor Paul is trying to encourage us in is to fix our eyes on Jesus, mm-hmm. who's the embodiment, or who's like in his body, the wisdom of God. And regardless of however much power we have or however much wisdom we have, for each of us, the invitation is the same. Yeah. To live the wisdom of God.
That's good.
Does that work?
That's good. You guys should, like that? That's, yeah.
Should we land the plane?
I think so. I think it's
all right.
Time.
Why don't you pray for us?
I will.
Yeah. Let's pray together.
Father, we give you thanks for this morning. Thank you for this time that we have to just come before you and worship you, Lord, as well as study your word. I love being able to study the Bible together, Lord, and it's one of the best ways to do that. And I'm glad that we had the kiddos and students in the room to join us as well, Lord, this morning. I also thank you for Splash Camp, Lord, this week. And I just ask, Lord, that you would bless every thing that we have going on, Lord, including those who are serving, Lord, those who are going to be sharing, Lord, and living out the wisdom, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, through your son, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I give you thanks, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.